So good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for zooming in with us. It's kind of strange again. We haven't done this for maybe the best part of a year, 6 months, 9 months, something. And but sometimes it's better to err on the side of caution, I think, than to put ourselves at risk or put my dad at risk. That's my biggest concern. So thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for zooming in with us. And let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are here with us as we gather in your name, whether we're in the same room, whether we're listening across airwaves. We just praise you for the technology that allows us to communicate. And knowing that we can do it this way here through our simplistic ways, we know that we're communicating with you when we talk to you, whether we see you or not. And so we welcome your presence here tonight. Lord Jesus, we want to honor and glorify your name. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does someone have a testimony you'd like to share with us from this past week, a prayer concern, or something longer ago?
Finished painting our hallway.
I'm sorry, you just what?
We finished painting our hallway.
Oh, congratulations. I'm in the middle of a painting project at one of my houses. So I know something of what you're going through. My cousin, Mark Sheets, I think Carla's family, Janelle's family, you've met him, whether you remember him or not. He called me a couple days ago, maybe it was Saturday, and might have been Friday. He was on his way to the hospital. He had been spitting up blood. And he said he had a blood clot in his lung and in the calf of his leg. And so they've had him there and confirmed those blood clots. And now I understand that he's waiting. They're doing some tests. They thought he may have tuberculosis, but now they're wanting to make sure that there's no cancer behind the blood clot. So they'll have more tests and more doctors to look at and talk to tomorrow and maybe into the week. So if you think of Mark, and his wife's name is Mary, pray for them. And I know they'll appreciate it. Mark did smoke for a number of years. I don't know how many years or how heavily, but that's not a good thing when you have that history and then have something going on with your lungs. Anyone else have something you'd like to share with us? All right. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you with our cares and our concerns and our joys and our celebrations. And we rejoice with Carla and Jeremy at the moving toward the final completion of their big project. And thank you for providing for that to happen. Thank you that Janelle and Jeff and the girls are all over their COVID bouts. And I pray that Wendy will be protected. And Pat, as he said, he was exposed this week. Just protect all of our health, I pray. And I lift Mark and Mary to you at this time. It's an uncertain time when we're waiting for test results and doctors to have opinions. And I just ask for your healing touch. I ask for peace and comfort for Mark and Mary. I pray for a spirit of cooperation and pleasantness and kindness. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'd ask somebody to pass the basket, but it's a little far. So we'll forego that tonight. And I guess we'll do a children's story next, unless somebody's got something else you want to do. Now, I can't see Janelle's family, but I suppose you can see me, and I'm sure that's the case. I had intended to ask some questions for the children. Hi, Janelle's family, Jeff's family. And so I have some pictures I'm going to show, and I welcome you to participate just like we were in the same room, like we do when we're together. This is a picture, if you can see it well, of Niagara Falls. Do you know what Niagara Falls is?
A waterfall?
Colossal, yes. Yeah, it is colossal. Do you know how high it is?
No.
It's 167 feet high. That's really high. That's almost 17 stories. You know, your houses are two stories. So eight times as high as your house would be Niagara Falls. And do you know how far it is across the falls from one side to the other?
No.
It's just a little bit less than a half mile. That's huge.
Yeah.
Now, it's really beautiful to look at. And I've been there. Have any of you been to Niagara Falls?
No, but I want to.
Okay, well, that's something you want to do sometime if you can, because it's a beautiful sight. You can see it better from the Canadian side of the border than the American side of the border, because it's right there in the river that goes between Canada and the United States. But either way, you can see how impressive it is and how big it is. Now, it's one thing to stand on the boardwalk that they have or the overlook and stand up there and look across and down on the falls. People take sightseeing boats, and they ride a boat up close to the falls. Do you see that cloud that covers the falls there in the middle of it?
Yes.
That's a spray of water that is coming up from when the water hits the river, when it comes down off the falls, and then it sprays back up into the sky. And so that's there pretty much all the time. And it's just something that is just an amazing thing to see. Now, can you imagine swimming across that river or swimming in that river and going down the falls?
I feel like you would die.
Feel like you would die, yes. Some people have done daredevil kinds of stunts where they've gone down the falls in a barrel or something like that, and many of them have died. I think a couple of them may have survived. But that's not something I would recommend. In fact, I wouldn't even want to fish in that river anywhere close to those falls where I'm up above the falls. You know what I mean? Where I'm on the high part of the river back behind the falls. That if I had a boat problem or my anchor let loose and I couldn't get stopped before my boat went over the falls, I just don't have any desire to do anything that would challenge the falls. But what if I told you that somebody put a tightrope across Niagara Falls and walked across the falls on a tightrope? Can you imagine doing that?
No, I would not.
Would you do it?
No.
No, I wouldn't either. Do you believe anybody could do it?
No.
Okay, well, I have a picture to show you here. This is a picture of a man walking on a tightrope across Niagara Falls.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
No.
That would take a lot of faith, I think. You would have the balance and the ability to be able to walk all the way across the falls. Now, he might not have been at the full half mile spot, but it would be a long ways across that fall. And it's 167 feet from the top of the falls to the bottom of the falls. So he's probably at least 200 feet up in the air from the bottom of the falls. And there he goes, walking across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And there are something like 9 or 10 people who have actually done that historically. And that's a pretty amazing feat. Now, you know what faith is, right?
Yes.
Faith is believing that something can be done, something that you haven't seen. And in our faith in God, it's believing that God will do again what we've seen him do in the past, or what we've heard of him doing in the past. And so if we see a picture of a man or a movie, there are videos of this man walking across Niagara Falls so that you can actually see it happen. If you go to YouTube and check out Tightrope Niagara Falls, you can probably find those videos, and they're kind of interesting. So there's a man that did it. Now, you may or may not be able to see it, but he's got a balance pole. It's really a long balance pole all the way across here. It's just a really thin line. I can see it. I don't know if you can see that or not. But that balance pole helps him keep his balance while he's walking across that tightrope. Okay, well, that's well and good. Now, suppose that somebody told you that they can walk across a tightrope on Niagara Falls, and you know that they're a talented tightrope walker. Now that you've seen this picture, you might believe that they could actually do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, suppose somebody told you that they could walk across a tightrope across Niagara Falls while pushing a wheelbarrow. Would you believe that? Would you believe they could push a wheelbarrow across that tightrope?
Maybe.
No.
Maybe. Well, here's a picture of a man pushing a wheelbarrow on a tightrope across Niagara Falls.
Upside down.
And it's been done. Now, the question is, who has faith that he can do that?
Not me. I'd be like, maybe. I don't think so.
Okay. How would you prove that you have faith that he can do that?
I don't know.
Well, here's a picture of a lady who can show you how you can prove that you have faith that he can do that. You see where she is?
In the wheelbarrow.
Is she?
Yes. And it looks like he's blindfolded, doesn't it?
What?
And he actually pushed her across the tightrope across Niagara Falls, and they lived to tell about it. Now, the person who gets in the wheelbarrow is the person who has faith. The person who says, yeah, I believe you can do it, says, okay, get in the wheelbarrow. Oh, no. They probably don't really believe it. But here's a lady that had great faith. And what I'm telling you this story for is to say we can trust God to push us in a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, or to take care of us in our time of need, or to help us with whatever it is that we need his help with, to be present with us and give us comfort when we're sad, give us joy when we're happy, and just give us love when we need to be loved. And we can trust God because He is able to do it all. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are a faithful God and that you are all powerful, all knowing, and everywhere present. And I pray that as these children learn to know you better each day, that their trust and their faith in you will grow, and that they'll be ready to get in a wheelbarrow with you, or walk on water with you, or fly in the clouds with you, or just walk through life together. And I pray that as they walk through that life, they'll be very aware of your presence. And I thank you for this in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. All right. Thanks for participating in that. This is a message that I had ready for last week, and then we pushed it over to this week. So I'm at Psalms 105. So if you want to follow along with your Bibles, you can, or if you just want to listen, that's okay too. I don't have it to put on the screen in the Zoom meeting tonight. I'll have to get with Jeremy and learn how to project this onto Zoom if we want to do that. So here we go, Psalms 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. You know, I think back on my life, and I invite you to think back on your lives, of times when God showed up, when God gave us direction, when he protected us, when he healed us, when he was just with us, and it made all the difference for us. And those are things that we want to tell each other about and tell other people about. They're things that I would encourage grandparents to tell grandchildren, and parents to tell children, and children to tell their children, and we can tell our friends. There are times when our friends are in need and maybe they don't have the history with God that we have. And sharing with them how God was with us when we went through some transition, or when we were in some point of grief or in need, and he provided for us, can give them faith and encouragement to give God a try and to trust him and to ask him to show himself to them. And he does. And it's awesome when he does. And then people's lives get changed because they begin to realize what an awesome God he really is. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. You know, God's face represents his presence. His hand and his arm represent his strength and his might and his ability to do things. But seeking God's face is seeking his presence. And when we're in God's presence, we have a peace that just goes completely beyond any understanding. There's nothing that bothers us. There's nothing that makes us afraid. There's nothing that makes us want to go anywhere else. Just being in God's presence. I so remember vividly, like it was yesterday, being in a prayer group, and my children and grandchildren have heard this many times, but you're going to hear it again. And I don't promise never to say it again because it's so life-changing. I was in a pastor's prayer movement, and we had gone away for 4 days to pray. And at lunch on this third day, I think it was, just before lunch, God showed up in a very, very powerful way. We didn't see anything with our physical eyes, but there was just a hush in the room and just a complete sense of the peace of God's presence. I don't know how else to describe it. And while I was there for that half hour or whatever it was, I did not want to move at all. I didn't want to do anything or have anyone do anything that would break the presence of God or chase it away, if you will. And it was just an awesome, awesome experience. I've never had quite that experience since then, but wow, I look forward to it. And, you know, you can look back at times like that and say, I know God is real because I experienced his presence. And you know, there are times I think of when we moved to Kansas as a family, and it was a time of some stress because Laura and Linda were sick and you know, we had a lot going on, young children. And so in order to get a little bit of encouragement about this move, we talked about the house that we wanted to buy and to live in. And we, the children all pitched in and we made a list of everything we wanted in this house. And then we prayed about it. And we told God, this is what we want. And I started shopping for a house, and I found one that met every item on our list and then some. And God provided what we asked for. And it's stories like that that we need to hear. I could tell you stories about how God provided for my father to have funds in his business to pick up the Gravely line that made our business a success. And he couldn't have done it without what I believe was an intervention from God. And it's stories like that that we need to be able to have to look back on and say, God was faithful then. We know he'll be faithful now. And it's awesome to be able to look back at that. And that's what David's going to be doing in this psalm. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced, you, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. So remember the wonders he has done. Remember his miracles, his judgments pronounced. His judgments pronounced are things that... excuse me for the hiccups, are things that say this is right and this is wrong. This is something that you need to continue doing or don't continue doing that. Come do this. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And that's important. It's easy to pass over it like I was about to, but at the time David wrote this, there were all the nations, all the little tribes of other nations had their own gods. And their gods were territorial gods. They were gods of their land or of their city or their county, if you will, their section of the world. But Israel came along and said, oh no, our God is the God of the whole earth. He created the whole world, and he is over the whole world. And that's what we want to see. Our God is different than the gods, and I use the word gods there with a small g. Our God is a capital G, and the other gods are small g's. They're pretend gods. They're not real gods, and they're false gods. And Israel was doing something new here and saying, our God is the God of the heavens and the earth, and he created the whole thing. And so we need to realize who our God is. He's not just the God of our city or our state or our country or our hemisphere. He's a God of the whole earth. He's a God of a whole universe and everything in it. Awesome God, awesome God. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. Now for Israel, the covenant that was important was that God would give them a land and they would be a nation and they would have a king that would reign over Israel forever. as Christians, God's covenant with us is that our land is in heaven and his presence is with us from now throughout eternity, and that we have life from now throughout eternity. And even when we pass from this life, we're really passing from life to life. And death is just that transition phase, and it's what we see from our side of eternity. From the eternity side, looking back at earth, when someone dies, they're seeing someone being birthed, being born into the eternal life. And even though theologically, I understand that we're born again when we accept Christ, and that's true. That's when eternal life starts. But the transition from this world to the next, I believe from the other side, is seen as a birth. So he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. And that was God's promise to Israel. When they were but few in number, few indeed and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. God protected the Israelites when they were just a fledgling nation. Before they were a nation, they were just a fledgling group of people. And we need to realize God will protect us. We don't need to be afraid of the pestilence, or we don't need to be afraid of COVID. We don't need to be afraid of inflation. Those things can affect us, but the worst thing that can happen is we die and go to heaven. And that's not so bad. That really isn't. But God provides for us. God heals people, and God provides financially for people, other material things that we need, whether it's housing or clothing or whatever it is, our real day-to-day needs. God provides those for us, and we thank him and praise him. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. So the land he's talking about here is Egypt. And he's going to have another name for it, but we know it as Egypt. And that's where Joseph was sent. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. I'm not going to get into all the details of Joseph's story, but it's an exciting story to read. And if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you'll soon come across it if you haven't already. So they bruised his feet with shackles. This is Joseph. His neck was put in irons till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. And this is interesting. God doesn't promise that we're not going to have hard times. Joseph went through some very hard times. He was imprisoned for a false accusation. And while he was there, the king's butler and the king's cook came to him, and they had dreams, and he interpreted for them and said, when you get back, tell Pharaoh about me. And one of them did. And then Pharaoh called Joseph out, and he was brought out of prison and given a place of vice president of the country and ran everything. So they bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Wow. This was a foreigner that was a prisoner and a slave in Egypt and was exalted to the second in command of the country. And everybody except the king did what Joseph told them to do. He was the prime minister, if you will. And And it was an amazing, amazing story. You need to read it. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. So that's where I said, we know it as Egypt. Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. And David refers to Egypt as Ham, land of Ham. And so the Lord provided for them. They became fruitful. They multiplied. And the Egyptians didn't like that. They didn't like the Israelites then. Then he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. And you maybe remember the 10 plagues of Egypt that David's talking about here in this psalm. He sent darkness and made the land dark, for had they not rebelled against his words, he turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. Oh, yuck. Imagine laying in bed and you got frogs all over your bed. That would be pretty nasty. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in their land, ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the firstfruits of all their manhood. God went to war against Egypt on behalf of his people. And God had promised that Israel would become a great nation. And here they were, slaves in Egypt, until Moses and Aaron came. And God performed these mighty miracles on their behalf. He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes, no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left because dread of Israel had fallen on them. And the dread of Israel may have truly been the dread of Israel's God, because he's the one that did the work for him. But it's interesting how that it says here that he brought Israel out laden. That means a bunch. It was heavy, a heavy amount of gold and silver. And what happened, as we read the story in Genesis, or Exodus rather, is where this part comes. Joseph is in Genesis, but Exodus is where the miracles happen and the people are driven out of Egypt. As they were leaving, the Egyptians gave them gold and silver and bracelets and gems and clothes and said, here, take these, get out of here. They were actually paying them, if you will, to leave. They were so anxious because of all God had done to show himself powerful on behalf of his people. If he did that for the Israelites, what will he do for us? How will he protect us? How will he provide for us? How will he lead us to a place of safety, to a place of prosperity, to a place of peace and joy and comfort? Getting there isn't always easy, as we know as we read about the wilderness journeys, but the end result is worth it all. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. God provided food, drink, clothing, shelter from the sun and the shade, light at night in the form of a pillar of fire. He provided for his people. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. God remembers his promise When we see the rainbow, we can remember God's promise. He's remembering it, that he'll never destroy the earth by flood again. And the promises that he's made to us, whatever they are, they're dependable. We can trust him to fulfill them, to keep them, and to be with us. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. So when Israel went into the promised land and they overcame it and they took possession of it, there were already vineyards there. There were already cities built. There were already farms farmed. And Israel just stepped in and took over where the other people had lived. And God had provided the wealth of the nations to them. And God provides for us. And that's what I want us to know. We can have faith that what God's done in the past, he'll do again. If we read a story in the scripture and we see how God healed or God provided, he still is doing those things today. And we can look back to our history or our parents' history or a grandparent's story or a friend's story of how God provided for them and realize God wants to do that for me too. So we can trust him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you're trustworthy, and that you never forget your promises, and you keep every one. So I pray that through this message, through our reading your word, through our sharing our faith stories with each other, that our faith, our trust in you will grow, and that we will be people, men and women of faith, who honor you, and who love you and cherish you every day of our lives. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep working among us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming tonight, and God bless you all with a wonderful week.